moment, you'll hear Jane Stewart as the Six Shooter, just one of the many fine programs brought to you Sundays on NBC. Later this evening, listen to the NBC Star Playhouse with one of your favorite stars. Hear Meet the Press, America's number one newsmaking program, and be sure to keep tuned for the dramatic story of communism in America on Last Man Out. It's a wonderful lineup of great programs, all of them heard only on NBC. Jane Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle, unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents Jane Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Rip Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
At about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when I rode out of the Sulphur Mountains and hit the flat, and the Scar stretched his legs and went into a high lope. And, he seemed real anxious to get across the 8 miles of prairie between the hills and Clay City. Like, easy, boy. Easy now. Hey, what's your rush? I don't know. Maybe he was hungry, and maybe he was thirsty, or maybe... Oh, no. No, it couldn't be that. Why, it was over 6 months since our last visit at the Clay City. Scar couldn't still be remembering the filly from the livery stable, not after all that time, no. Besides, horses don't have memories, at least not as good as... Now, you just slow down, boy, now, quit. Well, wasn't anything I could do except to keep a tight rein on him, I guess. I'm sure it was spurring Scar along, whatever it was important, at least it was to him. Well, we covered about half the distance to town when I noticed a couple of dark specks, maybe a mile or so ahead of us. And the way they were shaped and the way they were barely moving, well, they just about had to be packed for those. But it wasn't until we almost caught up that I spotted Hiram. And he was beating one of those birds with a cottonwood switch and giving him such a cut that he didn't even hear us riding up toward him.
Easy, Scar. Easy, now. Right here, Canary. You start coming, I'll set fire to you. And I don't... I'm not fooling. And I am warning you. I'll give you such a burning that you won't be able to...
Hello, Hiram.
Where'd you come from? Oh, Brick, for a second there, you kind of startled me. What? I didn't know you was on my tail.
The birds been acting up, Hiram?
Oh, they're just being themselves, Brick.
No.
That's the trouble, they're just being themselves.
Yeah, I sure know what you mean.
Where you heading, Clay City?
That's right.
I heard you was riding herds for the Circle G. Last time I was in getting some supplies, you told me. Are you going to town on business?
No. Ranch gave me a day off, tomorrow being 4th of July.
4th of July? Well, I'll be cussing. 4th of July. I've been out in the hills so long I lost all track of time. I didn't even know what month it was. Not for certain. Uh-oh. See, I'm going to do a little celebrating, eh?
Well, I just thought...
Yeah, come to think of it, I got me something to celebrate, too. And it's more than just Independence Day, Vic. It's a downside, Mike.
Is that so?
Well, if these critters don't stop balking, it'll be Christmas before we ever get to Clay City. All right, Pierre, come on, start moving. Come on. Yeah, that's it. Now, you two, Yvette, both of you, come on.
Hey, what was that you called him, huh?
Yeah, what's that?
Well, it sounded like Pierre.
Oh, sure. Hey, that's your name, Pierre and Yvette.
Oh, no.
Well, what's the matter? They're perfectly respectable names. I seen a show once in Denver called The Paris Review. That was the title of it, from Paris, France. And there was a couple of dancers. Well, sir, if they didn't put on a jig. I'm telling you, Rip, it sure was something. The fella, he just picked up this girl and he threw every which way. I thought she was going to land right in my lap.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yes, that's the truth, every word. And this here girl, dancing, she kept coming back for more, like she enjoyed being used for a lasso. Yes, Pierre and Yvette. That's what they was called. It was on the sign out in front of the Tabor Grand Opera House. Those names always kind of stuck with me. So when I bought these birds, well, you know, birds, they ain't very particular about what you call them.
No.
Now, you just keep moving, Pierre. Come on, keep moving. Yes, yes.
That's quite a load you're carrying there, huh?
It sure is.
Well, I guess I'll ride on. Maybe see you in town, huh?
Hold up a minute, Britt. Ain't you going to ask me what's in them bags?
Well, no, I just figured it wasn't any of my business.
Well, I'm going to tell you, anyhow.
Uh-huh.
If I don't tell somebody, I'll bust. Besides, I know I can trust you.
Hmm?
Yeah, we'll pay for whatever. Britt, I've struck it. I've made a strike, the life of which I never even dreamed of.
Oh?
Easy, Scott. Look at now. You see this here sack right here?
Yeah.
This one right here? If it don't assay out to over $1,000...
$1,000?
That ain't the half of it. There's plenty more where this come from.
Well, that sure sounds good.
It is good. Well, I just bet the bean I find delivers more gold in a year than they ever took out of California.
Is that so? Well, you sure are entitled to a strike, Hiram. You've been prospecting for quite a spell.
Yeah, sure. 45 years, good.
Yeah.
45 years. Come on in. But I ain't got no regrets. Not now, I ain't. I told him in Clay City. I told him all there was gold in the Saucer Mountains. Oh, I could smell it. Just the way my birds sniff water. But they wouldn't listen, no. They said old Hiram was touched, that I'd never find nothing but yellow-colored rocks. Yeah. It starts singing a different song now.
Oh, you're sure it's gold, Father.
Oh, you think I don't know it when I see it? You mark my words. Old Hiram has turned up the real thing.
Of course, you mustn't let the news out.
Oh.
Not until after I get my assay report and file my claim.
Oh, sure, sure.
But I just wish there was some other assay office around here.
What's that?
Well, that Enoch Wilson. He wouldn't know a gold nugget from a tea kettle. And what's more, I don't trust him. I don't trust him a bit.
Well, no harm. You know,
some of the samples I bought him in before looked mighty good to me, but not to Enoch. I don't think he even tested them. Now, just let him try to say that this batch is worth it. Yeah, just let him try to say that.
Don't know what's the matter with Scar. He sure is restless.
Well, then you go on ahead, Britt. Just go on ahead.
Well, I guess I might as well. Easy, boy. Easy. I hope everything works out the way you expect, huh?
Don't you worry yourself about that.
Nice run into you.
You too, Britt. You too. All righty, Dad. Come on. You can't eat that cactus. Get your nose out of there.
The sun was just going down when we got to Clay City. I figured on stopping at the hotel first, making sure of the bed, but Scar had other ideas. He headed right straight for the livery stable. There just wasn't any doubt about it. He remembered that filly. Yes, sir. And mind you, I'm not saying that a horse can really get a disappointed expression on his face, but I'll tell you this much. Scar gave a pretty good imitation of it when he saw a big roan stallion occupying what had been that filly's stall. Well, I left him there anyway, and I got myself supper in the room. And about 9 o'clock, I started feeling sleepy. You know. I just pulled off my boots. God, a man sure does get tired and stays up late. Holy smoke, what's that? Well, those shots right outside my window. I grabbed my gun and I... Then I saw I wouldn't be needing the gun. Couple of kids shooting off Chinese firecrackers. Well, it didn't look like I was going to get much sleep that night. And the way things worked out, I sure did. Well, yeah? Who is it?
Hiram, Britt. I got to talk to you. It's important.
Well, come on in.
Oh, thanks, Britt. Thanks.
What's the matter? What's the matter? You look like you're getting ready for a real hard winter.
Enoch Wilson.
That's what's the matter. Remember, Bert, I told you I didn't trust him. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Yes, well, I've got me some proof. Watching.
It's just some firecrackers, Hiram. And Enoch, he says you haven't found gold.
No. He said nothing one way or the other. But by the time I got the birds into town tonight, it was almost 7 o'clock. Enoch was just closing up the assay office.
Uh-huh.
But I'd given them sacks of gold, you see, and I said I wanted a report as soon as possible. And you know what he told me?
I can't say that I do at all.
Friday. He said I couldn't have no word because... He said I couldn't have no word before late Friday. Why, but that's 2 days off.
Well, tomorrow being a holiday.
Well, that's the excuse he tried to hand me to. Oh, that lying skunk.
You know, the 4th of July is a pretty important occasion.
Well, that don't give him the right to tell me a whole pack of lies, does it?
No, of course it doesn't.
Anyhow, I had to leave my gold with him. I didn't have no choice. So I got me a bowl of Irish beef stew over at the O'Brien's Cafe. Then I went back to see about the Burrows. And that's when I noticed the light in Enoch's office.
Oh?
Yeah, so naturally, I was kind of suspicious. So I snuck up and I peeked through the window. You know what I saw, Bert?
I haven't the faintest idea.
He was sitting at the desk, Enoch himself, getting ready to do some assaying. And if those weren't my 3 sacks of gold in front of him, I'll trade you a whole hog for a slice of bacon. That's what I'll do.
Well, supposing Enoch was testing your order, that doesn't prove anything.
Don't you see, Bert, he's fixing to take my order for himself. And once he makes up his mind how valuable it is, he'll do a little substituting. And I'll wind up with 3 bags of rocks. When I come in to see him on Friday.
Oh, no.
Probably aims to find out where I got it, too. Oh, yes. File the claim himself.
No, that doesn't sound very
then
likely.
Then why did he say it'd be Friday before he'd know anything? Why did he tell me that if he was planning to work tonight?
Well, if you're so upset about it, you should have just come right straight out and asked him.
I'm going to ask you, but that's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask for the... But I want you there when I confront him.
Me?
He's already lied to me once today, but if you're with me, if he sees you're my friend, yeah, maybe he'll think twice before he tries anything funny. Yeah? Maybe I'll get a decent assay for a change.
Well, I'm afraid I don't understand where I come in.
He knows you, don't he? Knows that you're the 6-shooter?
Well, we've met up a couple of times.
Yes, but... well, come on then. But let's get over there while we can catch him red-handed.
Wait a minute. Now, hold on.
What? You know how much this strike means to me. You ain't gonna let anybody swindle me out of it.
No.
We ain't got all
that. All right. Just give me a chance to tuck in my shirt tail.
You see the light, Brett? He's still here.
Now, you just remember one thing, Hiram. This wasn't my idea.
Sure.
Remember that.
Who is it? What do you want?
Hiram Garver. That's who it is. And Britt Ponce is with me, too. So you better get this door open.
Now, Hiram, just remember something.
Howdy, Britt. What's the trouble?
Well,
Hey, there, Britt. There you are. There. You see right there? See? Them are my sacks.
Of course they're your sacks, Hiram.
You see, he ain't denied it, either.
Hiram, are you going loco or something?
I'll do the asking, Enoch. You'll do the answering from now on. And you better not lie in front of Britt Ponce, do you?
Huh?
I thought you said you wasn't going to be able to assay this hole before Friday.
What if I did?
It appears like you changed your mind, don't it? Well, Britt wants to know the reason.
Well, it was just that you were kind of anxious, that's all. And your stuff did look a little more promising than usual.
What'd I tell you, Britt? Yeah, what'd I tell you? Yeah, he knew it was good.
I said it looked promising, Hiram.
Promising enough so you try to cheat me out of it, eh? Well, you're not getting away with it, do you not? The 6-shooter here will see to that.
Now, just hold on.
Hiram Grover, I ought to throw you right out of my office. If I was trying to cheat you, would I have sent word for you to stop in tomorrow morning before the parade and get your assay report?
You sent word?
You just asked Mike O'Brien. I was over to his cafe looking for you. You'd already left, though. I told him if he saw you, he gave him the message.
You told Mike?
Well, Hiram?
Well, doggone a bit, how was I to know?
You think he might have stumbled into something, Enoch? Real strike?
Well,
Ain't positive yet, Britt, but some of the samples are mighty encouraging. A couple more tests.
Evening, gentlemen.
Who are you?
Well, turn around. I'll just grab us a man. All three of them.
Well, now you just wait a minute.
Do a little stretching before we... That's better.
Well, it was real considerate of you to stay open tonight, mister. Save us the trouble of breaking them.
All right, Dad. Let's start loading up.
We'll return to Jane Stewart as the Six Shooter in just a moment. Our religious institutions are strongholds of the American way of life. Our country was founded by men who had faith in God and who were willing to endure hardship and sacrifice for the sake of that faith. Today, the religious institutions in your community need your interest and support. So take an active part in religious affairs. Your pastor, rabbi, or priest will give you invaluable family counsel and aid if you are a newcomer to the community. To face the problems of the future, America must be morally strong. And that moral strength comes through worship and faith. Go to church this week and take someone with you. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Boys in leather jackets, no Karen 45. They're about the same build, same color, looking up like to be brothers. They hadn't bothered covering their faces. That meant that they weren't worrying about being recognized. Probably didn't come from Clay City. The tall one gave most of the orders.
Who's running this office? Will somebody speak up?
I do the answering.
That's more like it. And you'd be the fellow who'd know how to open this safe.
Well, ain't really nothing worse.
Cut out the stalling, mister. Get over here.
Move. Okay.
You know, Charlie, he didn't have much choice. So he bent down in front of the cast iron safe and started fiddling with the dial. The other outlaw, the short one, was standing beside the desk. He reached out his free hand. He picked up on a hand's oar snatch.
I hear something, man. Feels pretty heavy, too.
Can you let that alone, mister?
All right, take it easy.
That there all belongs to me. You ain't got no right to it.
Guess you don't hear so good. I told you to take it easy.
You think you can bully me just because you're holding a 45?
No harm.
Yeah, you've got another thing coming, young fella. I spent most of my life hunting that gold, and he ain't gonna walk in here and swipe it. You just let it be, or I'll...
The next time I knew harm gave a leap forward, I tried to stop him, but it was too late. For a second, it just kept on moving. Or a step or two. Then his legs buckled and he grabbed the edge of the desk, but his fingers couldn't hold the grip. Both the outlaws were staring at Harm and weren't watching me. Get down, Enoch! My bullet hit the short one in the arm. The gun flew halfway across the office. And the other one spun around and knocked over the kerosene lamp. I got off the second shot. It was the dark out. Wasn't sure I'd hit anything or not. For a couple of minutes, there wasn't a sound. Nothing but heavy breathing. I stretched out my hand, and I felt a chair. I waited a second, and then I gave it a good hard push. He sure had good ears. Bullets spurted into the chair before it even toppled over. But the flash of his gun showed me where he was. Crouched right behind the safe, out of range. I edged over to the right. Yet I could just get past the window without him seeing me. I made a dart and fired. Enoch lit up another lamp. The boy that was shot in the arm, he hadn't passed out. He was just lying there, staring at me.
looking even younger than he had when he first came into the office. The other fella, he'd taken a bullet in the shoulder and he was bleeding pretty bad. But Ham, he was worse off than either of them. He was flat on his back, gasping for breath. There was a big red splotch on his chest, and his mouth was covered with sort of a pink foam, like. It's a good thing Doc Nibble's house was in the next block. Well, Doc?
It's too early to tell anything yet, Bert. You have to pull it out. I'm still hemorrhaging.
I see.
In a month or two, it'll be as good as ever in a week or so. Good enough for a hanging if Hiram don't pull through.
Oh, no, no. He just got to pull through, Doc.
He's an old man, Bert. He seems like he's a lot younger. Well, you better get yourself some rest. It's almost 4 a.m.
Well, I thought maybe I...
There's nothing you can do here. Any chance of him coming to before morning?
I was standing right beside him when it happened. I could have drawn, maybe, and then...
Maybe then you'd both be shut up. And I'll see you in the morning, Bree.
I went back to the hotel, but I just couldn't sleep. Around about 6:30, I gave up trying. I figured it was too soon to find out how Hiram was doing, so I went for a little walk around town. I wasn't very hungry, but as long as Mike's Cafe was open, I thought I just might as well stop in for a cup of coffee. I was just going through the door when Enoch Wilson came up running.
Britt.
Yeah? Good morning, Enoch.
I was hoping I'd run into you. Stopped by the hotel, but they said you was out.
Yeah, I started looking the town over.
He just left Hiram.
Oh, well, he's not...
No. He sure don't look good.
Oh?
Doc Nibble says he's got a good, strong constitution for a man his age. He had a pretty fair chance. But Hiram just don't seem to have any fight left in him. He ain't even trying to live.
Well, had he come to?
Yeah, about an hour ago. I happened to be there. You see, I went back to the office after that gunfight last night and finished up Hiram's assay.
Oh?
Well, I thought maybe it turned out to be something good. Well, I wanted Hiram to know about it before he...
Oh, yeah. Well, that was mighty thoughtful of you, Mark.
Yeah. And it is good, Britt. Real strike.
Well, didn't you tell Hiram?
Oh, sure. Didn't seem to make no difference to him. He just nodded and sort of dozed off. He didn't even care.
Is that so?
Doc don't understand it neither. He'd think if anything, it'd make him want to live. Knowing he found gold sure turned the trick.
Yeah, it sure would.
Maybe he figures I'm lying to him because he's so bad off.
Well, I guess it could be that.
Yeah. So we thought, Doc and me, we thought, maybe if he was to hear it from you, well...
Oh, sure, you know, I'll go right over there, sure. Feeling?
Pretty good.
Well, that doc says you're going to be all right real soon, too.
Yes.
Sure. Of course, you've got to help him along some, you know. He can't cure you single-handed, you know.
It don't matter, Brad. Just don't matter.
Oh, now, what are you talking about, Hiram? Well, I figured you'd be jumping up and down, fighting your way out of bed when you heard the news.
You about to go?
Sure. Enoch said he told me.
He told me.
Well, you believe me, don't you, Hiram?
I said that blue was a real thing when I first found it. I knew it was real. Still, maybe Maybe that was the sign.
The sign? Well,
that my life is over.
Well,
45 years I spent looking for that yellow stuff. And now I finally found it. I ain't got no reason to go on looking, no reason at all. I find. I'm a little tired, Brad. I'm a little tired.
But you're going to be a rich man, Hiram.
I wasn't. Gold because of getting rich, Brad. Oh, maybe when I was younger, that was the reason. But lately, these past few years, I just wanted to prove to folks that I knew what I was talking about. That I wasn't touched like they thought.
No. Of course you are.
And those oil samples prove it, Brett. So it ain't gonna be too hard to die. Ain't gonna be hard at all. I've done what I set out to do, so I reckon I'm luckier than most men.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, I guess.
Yeah, just goes to show you, things work out for the best, Brett.
Yeah. Well, maybe Enoch did the right thing after all, so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nothing, huh? Nothing. No, you better get some rest.
She started to think that news about Enoch.
Did I?
Finish that
What I was going to say. Well, now, you're a pretty sick man, Hiram. I wouldn't want to get you all upset.
Upset? What are you driving at, Brad?
Well, you're weak and feeble, and it wasn't my idea, of course.
Well, you don't mean that Enoch was lying to me, that ore wasn't full of gold?
Now, I didn't say that.
I knew Enoch Wilson couldn't be trusted, so it ain't true about my strike.
Now,
so they figured I was going to die, didn't they? Then they'd all had the laugh on me. But I ain't going to be that obliged, and I'll get well over Tuesday. And I'll find gold, too, right out there in those mountains where I always said I'd find it. Oh, they think they're going to soft-soap me into kicking the bucket, don't they? Oh, they do. Well, Britt, you just tell them different.
I'd be glad to, Hiram. I sure would be glad to. By the time Hiram got well and found out he was responsible for a genuine gold rush, there just wasn't much he could do about it. And the way the money poured in, faster than Hiram could spend it, no matter how hard he tried, he sure went in for some fly-by-night schemes, too. Like that was that organizing a prospecting expedition to go up to Alaska, someplace called the Klondike, it was, something like that. Everybody knew he'd never find gold up in a place like that, of course. They're all expecting him to come back any day now. Admit that it was just a wild goose chase. But he hasn't shown up last time I was through Clay City. Folks are beginning to wonder what's keeping him.
The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may soon be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Herb Vigran, Bill Johnstone, Barney Phillips, Tony Barrett, and Howard McNear, who played Hiram. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam. And the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Hal Gibbon speaking. This is the NBC Radio Network.